To pronoun or not to pronoun? That is the question. As followers of Jesus, should we use a transgender's preferred pronouns or not? Let me ask it another way. Can we as followers of Jesus extend God's love without compromising God's truth as we seek to reach very broken transgenders with the love of Jesus? There seems to be a lot of confusion on this point within the body of Christ. There are those who say, well, Christians can and should use preferred pronouns in order to engage transgenders in conversation about Jesus because the greatest good is introducing them to Christ. On the other hand, there are those who say, nah, Christians should not use preferred pronouns because it compromises God's truth. This is the question I've been wrestling with as I prepared for this podcast. Is it okay for a Christian to use a transgender's preferred pronouns in order to reach them for Christ? What do you think? Now, I'm going to be very straightforward in this podcast. I'm not going to pull punches on either side of this issue. And I suspect I'm going to make many folks on both sides of this debate very, very uncomfortable and maybe even angry. For the record, I'm okay with that. It won't be the first time. This is Brad Bright. Welcome to the God is the Issue podcast, where we show how God is the issue in every issue. Now, as we talk today, I'm going to build everything around the following statement. Be like Jesus. Never compromise truth and never compromise love. If we want to be like Jesus, we have to figure out how to always speak truth in love. We have to figure out how to love the sinner. In other words, how to love everyone without compromising God's truth. We should never use God's truth as a bludgeon on the lost, broken people. On the other hand, we should never ignore God's truth in our desire to introduce broken people to the God who loves them. You see, truth without love is not God's truth, and love without truth is not God's love. I remember one day while I was living in the mountains above San Diego, I was walking down a hill with a longtime family friend. His name was Dick Day. He ran a place called the Julian Center. It was a place where you could study Christian worldview and ask really smart Christians pretty much about any question that was on your mind. Now, Dick and I were just kind of walking along and chatting. At one point, he turned to me and said, Brad, you understand God's justice, but you don't have the gift of compassion. Whatever you do in life, surround yourself with those who have the gift of compassion and consult them regularly. You know, as I thought about it later, I realized he was graciously saying, Brad, you don't have God's heart. I've never forgotten his words. That was a real wake-up call. You see, Jesus called us to be fishers of men, and I took Jesus seriously. However, I was often my own worst enemy when it came to fishing for men, as Jesus called it. I spoke truth, but I often used it as a bludgeon. Basically, I fished with a stick of dynamite. I was obliterating the fish that Jesus died for, and that's not okay. Maybe some of you can relate. Maybe some of you should relate. On the other hand, there are people who ooze compassion, but they seriously lack wisdom. I've known a lot of those folks over the years. They often inadvertently compromise God's truth because they don't want to scare the fish away. I'm glad they don't want to scare the fish. But compromising God's truth is not okay either. So let's circle back around to the question I posited at the beginning of this podcast. Is it okay for a Christian to use a transgender's preferred pronouns in order to reach them for Christ? Now, in order to answer that question, we must first acknowledge that when we ask, is it okay? We are really asking is it okay with God? So is it ever okay with God for a Christian to use a transgender's preferred pronouns? And if that is what we're asking, then how I feel, how you feel, and how transgenders feel really is irrelevant. The only relevant issue in answering that question is, how does God feel? Well, God says he created only two genders, male and female. Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. Male and female, he created them. In Matthew 19:4, Jesus repeated God's view when he said, he who created them from the beginning made them male and female. But then in Deuteronomy 22:5, God's word says, a woman shall not wear a man's clothing, nor shall a man put on a woman's clothing. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. You see, how God feels on this issue is very clear. He creates each of us at conception with a specific gender. He feels that presenting ourselves as another gender is horrible. You see, the word abomination is not simply a descriptive term like saying, well, that's wrong. abomination carries intense emotion as well. That's how God feels. So unless you believe that God sometimes says, oops, then how he feels about transgender behavior doesn't change based on how you or I or transgenders feel. So the fact is, it is crystal clear that God's truth is that there are only two genders, male and female. That is God's truth. If you or I, as God's representatives on earth, state or imply something different, we are misrepresenting God. We may have great intentions, but we are still misrepresenting God. Now, Jesus never once misrepresented God's truth in order to extend love to the broken, not once. So here's the critical question. Whose side are you on? Are you on God's side or not? There are only two choices. Either you use the pronouns God uses or you don't. Either you correctly represent God's truth or you don't. Folks, I want to be clear where God is clear. But I want to extend a lot of grace where God is unclear. God is crystal clear on this issue. He only created two genders. He does not assign gender based on how someone feels. He does not even assign gender at birth. He assigns gender at conception. Do you really believe that compromising God's truth is loving? See, compromising God's truth is often tolerance masquerading as love. Have you ever thought about that? In our culture, many Christians can really confuse love and tolerance. Maybe you're one of them and you didn't even realize it until this moment. But God's love never denies truth. On the other hand, tolerance consistently denies God's truth. So never confuse tolerance with love. You see, truth without love is not God's truth. And love without truth is not God's love. We should never compromise God's truth and never compromise God's love. But there's another powerful argument against using a transgender's preferred pronouns for the sake of evangelism. You see, using their preferred pronouns is a form of enabling. You are reinforcing the delusion of someone who thinks they are something that they're not. You are enabling them in their delusion. Would you enable an alcoholic for the sake of sharing the gospel with them? Would you enable a fentanyl addict for the sake of sharing the gospel with them? Would you enable a porn addict for the sake of sharing the gospel with them? Would you enable a pedophile for the sake of sharing the gospel with them? I hope not. Now, let me ask it another way. Is it right to do wrong to do right? We should never compromise God's truth and never compromise God's love. Now, let me shift gears. In fact, I'm getting ready to grind the gears really hard. I want to talk with the folks who are trying to pull the speck out of their brother's eye while they have a log in their own. I want to talk to the critics who focus on their brothers and sisters' lack of wisdom while they themselves refuse to repent of their own disobedience. What am I talking about? Refusing to share your faith as a way of life. It is disobedience. It is sin with a capital S, and I'll talk more about that in a moment. I don't know about you, but I would much rather stand before God and have him ask me, Brad, why were you so unwise? Rather than, Brad, why were you disobedient to my clear command? See, over the years, I've heard many of my brothers excuse their disobedience by saying, evangelism is not my gift. Whoopee. May I blow up that lame excuse once and for all? I don't have the gift of compassion. You don't have the gift of evangelism. I don't have the gift of compassion. Now, in case you didn't catch the clear implication, let me spell it out. If you don't have to tell your neighbors about Jesus because evangelism is not your gift, then I don't have to show compassion because compassion is not my gift. Did I just make anyone squirm? I hope so. Some of you should. Now, here's another question for you. Why are you so ashamed of Jesus? Seriously, why? In Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." By the way, that's a direct quote from Jesus. What that means, if you are not fishing or even attempting to fish, you're not following Jesus. I don't know who you are following, but it's not Jesus. Maybe it's your Sunday school teacher who misquoted St. Francis of Assisi as saying, preach the gospel at all times, use words when necessary. Have you ever heard that quote? Well, there are three fundamental problems with that quote. First, St. Francis of Assisi never said it. Second, St. Francis of Assisi traveled through villages and towns almost every day for years, preaching the love of Christ from the street corners to anyone who would listen. And third, although St. Francis of Assisi was a godly man, even if he had said it, He is not the authority. Jesus is. But you know what? The real problem isn't that you're not fishing. That's just a symptom of the problem. The real problem is you're not following. Now, I know I've stepped on some toes. But let me tell you how I know you're not following. It's because Jesus promised that if you followed him, he would turn you into a fisher of men. So unless Jesus lied, if you're not fishing, you're not following. It's simply cause and effect. Or maybe you're accusing Jesus of being a liar. Is that it? If not, then you need to repent and follow Jesus. You need to return to your first love, as Revelation chapter 2 says. If you do, God will turn you into a fisher of men. He promised. But here's the other big rub. I started this segment of the podcast by saying, if you're not following Jesus, you need to get the log out of your own eye before you get the speck out of your brother's. You need to repent of your disobedience and start obeying and following Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19 that we should make disciples of all nations. The first step in making a disciple is what? Is to introduce them to Jesus. You can't make a disciple out of someone who doesn't know Jesus. Now, I know some of you are thinking, I disciple people, but I don't do evangelism. I don't fish. May I ask you exactly what you were discipling other Christians to do? You're certainly not discipling them to follow Jesus, because Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So I have to conclude that you must be discipling people to follow someone other than Jesus. Maybe you're discipling them to follow you. What do you think? And for all of you who are living in direct disobedience to Jesus' command to make disciples, which starts with introducing them to Jesus, you need to get the log out of your own eye before you criticize your brother or sister for using preferred pronouns as they attempt to reach out to transgenders the love of Jesus. You see, folks who use preferred pronouns in their attempt to rescue the lost are not violating a direct command from Jesus like you are. See, I'm not trying to justify their lack of wisdom, but you need to get the log out of your own eye first before you ever criticize them again. You need to repent and start following Jesus. You need to let Jesus give you a heart for the lost. And until you do, folks, zip it. Seriously, zip it. And let me shift gears one last time. I want to circle back to my brothers and sisters who use preferred pronouns in order to share the love of Jesus with tragically broken people. I don't want to simply tell you that you're unwise and leave it there. I want to tell you how grateful I am that you are trying to follow Jesus with your whole heart. I want to commend you for your passion. I think the God who sees the heart applauds your desire. And in addition, I want to help show you how to never compromise truth and never compromise love on this issue. You see, I have some folks in my life who are very gender confused. They're truly broken. I never put a finger in the air. I don't use truth as a bludgeon because I care for them. I love them, but I never enable them, and I never misrepresent God's truth. You know, it's like Peter and Paul in the book of Acts. They never once said to pagans, change your behavior. They always said, change your God. You see, behavior is not the issue. Their view of God is. So you're correct in trying to make the behavior, their behavior, a non-issue. It's a symptom, not a cause. And here's what I've actually said to very broken folks who are in my life. If we don't have a relationship, it won't be because I walked away. That will have to be your choice. You see, I believe that most broken people crave authentic, caring relationship more than they desire to be affirmed in their choices. That's what my experience has taught me. Offer them what they seek, which is relationship, so you can offer them a relationship with Christ as well. If they refuse and walk away, that's their choice. But I've learned over the years that many who initially walk away will call months or even years later and ask, can we talk? You see, Jesus loved broken people deeply, but he never enabled them in their brokenness. He never reinforced their delusions. Instead, he offered them real relationship. Go and do likewise. A number of years ago, I heard a former lesbian speak down in Florida. She was a follower of Jesus who had once been a hardcore lesbian. In her former days, her nickname was Sir. You know, she fell in with a bunch of Christians who invited her to go to church with them and to hang out with them. They offered genuine relationship. As she said, they never sugarcoated the truth, but they loved me and they talked about the love of Jesus. Finally, one day came when she decided she wanted the love of Jesus more than she wanted the love of another woman. Folks, Jesus does not call us to enable broken people in their brokenness. He doesn't call us to sugarcoat the truth. He calls us to offer them something far better, relationship with us and with their Creator. You see, we need to be more like Jesus. We need to love more and tolerate less. If you're not sure how to do this with the broken folks around you, I encourage you to meditate on James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, and it will be given to you. Listen to God's voice, and then go out and change your world in the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results to God. See, God is the issue in every issue, even in the issue of whether or not to use preferred pronouns as we seek to offer the love of Christ to very broken and tormented people. This is Brad Bright. Thanks for joining me today. If you found this podcast helpful, please like, subscribe, or share. God bless. And always remember, never compromise truth and never compromise love.